Atheist Nomads, episode 327. I'll come up with a title, hopefully before release.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Jason Ward.
Hello, I'm Jason Ward.
Yep, Lauren is taking a nap with Kylie, and they're and then be trying to keep Kylie out of our hair while we record. And yep, so we'll be talking about the news. But how's life treating you, Jason?
Yeah, life's doing okay. Just a bunch of school, trying to get everything turned in on time. I've started to not turn in some things on time. So
It's been a few months since we've had you on. So how's the comedy scene going?
Oh, I haven't been doing really anything except judging a few contests, because the most fun thing for a comic to do is judge other comics. So yeah. That's been a good time.
All right. And, rocking the gray beard.
Yeah. I, started growing it at the end of a conference, and I just like, to hell with it. We'll see how it goes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you want to go ahead and just jump right into the news?
Yeah, do it. News me.
All right, so we talked to Andrew Seidel from FFRF on episode 319 about his book, The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American. And then FFRF ran a ad during the last Democratic presidential primary debate. And that definitely caught the ire of Pastor Greg Locke from the Global Vision Bible Church in Tennessee.
Hmm.
And they started a heated exchange on Twitter. And Andrew offered to send him a copy of his book.
Yeah.
So he went ahead and sent it off. And then the pastor got the book and recorded a video that he posted to Facebook and Twitter of him burning it.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
Also, let's associate the church with burning books again. That sounds like a good idea.
Yep. And like one of the things he said with it was, I was just making a point that any history of America that would exclude God or the Bible or a pastor's viewpoint is really just ridiculous.
Didn't they come over here for freedom of religion?
Some did. Or freedom to be persecuting assholes.
Yeah, that's really the freedom I seek.
So like you look at like the Puritans, they were wanting the freedom to force everybody around them to live life their way.
Oh my God, and they just don't. Can you repeat that again slowly, Puritans?
And and like my ancestor that was on the Mayflower, he, from what I've seen, wasn't actually part of the separatists is what they were actually called, not the Puritans.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the adventurer group and went along to see the new world. It was supposed to be in Virginia and ended up being in Massachusetts instead. And got to live with a bunch of people who wanted to make sure that you do everything exactly their way, and he was in court all the time.
Oh man, I would be too.
And like this pastor, yeah, he's wanting, you know, excluding God or the Bible. Okay, yeah, the founding fathers excluded God and the Bible from the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't think people like facts when they're trying to make a point.
yeah, unless you're trying to make a point that's actually based in facts, then you do like it. But if you're just trying to protect a pastor's viewpoint, which is what this guy's doing, then facts are the enemy at that point.
What is the book about, by the way? I'm not familiar with it.
The basic premise is going through and looking at some of the historical stuff and modern stuff and the rise of the Christian nationalist movement.
Okay.
And how it's really all just, it goes against American history and the American ethos and against the American Constitution and is un-American.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good one. Maybe I'll pick up a copy.
Yeah.
I won't burn it if I do.
Yeah. Now, I guess on that question, have you ever burned a book?
Not on purpose. No, I don't think I've ever burned a book on accident either, no.
I kind of sort of did one.
As a point?
No, it was not. It was, I was at this point 17 or maybe 18, still a devout Seventh-day Adventist. And when I was 17, I'd gone on the International Air Cadet Exchange to Canada I stayed with two of the British cadets with a Mormon family in Niagara Falls, Canada. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. That when we were in Niagara Falls for a few days, yeah, they split us all up and there were various families that put people up. And yeah, ours was Mormon and
Canadian Mormon.
Yep.
Very friendly. That's with their polygamy, probably.
other side of Canada. The polygamous Mormons in Canada were more Alberta, BC.
Oh, of course.
This is Ontario, so.
Yeah, Ontario, they're not as cool.
So we'd have dinner there, and they'd read some passage from the Book of Mormon. It's just like, oh, this is just weird. And the other cadets and I were just kind of rolling our eyes at each other during that. And then at the very end, they gave us each a copy of the Book of Mormon.
Oh, okay.
And so that went into my suitcase until I got home, and then it went under my shelf at home. And then at some point then or within the next year, I was like, okay, this is the evil book of a cult that was forced on me while I was doing something on government travel orders. Everything about this is wrong.
Oh, okay.
Including it being given to me was inappropriate and it's just like, I'm done with it. So I threw it away and my parents burned most of their trash. So that book did get burned.
All right, there you go.
And I actually threw it in the burn barrel myself to make it less likely that I'd get questions from my parents about it.
All right, yeah, good call. Destroy the evidence.
Yeah. So I didn't actually burn it, but I did put it into the trash that was going to be incinerated. And yeah.
No, yeah, good job. That's a good book to burn. But if it was like a copy, if somebody asked me for a quote from the Book of Mormon, I might just sing a song from Don't Fuck the Baby. Or
yeah. Well, and like, okay, so that's something I did when I was, you know, we're talking, what, 17 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. This is the first time I've ever told anybody about doing it.
Oh, wow.
And this guy, somebody gave him a book. He was so offended by it that he publicly burned it with a torch.
Jeez, with a torch?
Yeah.
And then he shuffled the ashes around with a pitchfork.
Man. So, okay, if you have a book, don't give it to an evangelical pastor.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to send them any copies of The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Interestingly, the Religion News Service covered the story, and they did talk to Greg Locke and they talked to Andrew Seidel, and one of Seidel's responses that they included in the article was, well, a couple of them was, there's the ironic part that the book included a section on religious groups using book burnings as a defense mechanism to avoid the threat of new information. And then he also just had this weird mixed feeling with it of, it was, you know, it was obvious that the guy didn't actually crack open beyond the inscription that he'd written in on the title page. So hadn't actually read it.
Right.
And he was just burning it. It's something he'd put 8 years worth of work into and was watching it be destroyed, but also felt kind of good about the fact that he got under this pastor's skin so much that he did a public book burning.
Yeah, that's a spite badge for sure. I want to write a book someday that people burn.
Yeah.
I want to join the ranks of that guy and J.K. Rowling.
Oh, man. And in Texas, just in time for Halloween, the Secular Student Alliance at the University of Texas at San Antonio has done a Graveyard of the Gods on campus.
Oh, okay. Like various gods from the pantheons?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so a graveyard of all the different, not all, but all the best little gods that are no longer worshipped by anybody, including Lucifer, not the Jewish and Christian devil, but the Roman god named Lucifer.
I never knew about that.
I didn't either, but that's one of the ones they've got.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a thing that Secular Student Alliances have done for years across various campuses, because it's an interesting way to get people looking at, oh, here's all of these gods that nobody worships anymore.
Right. Yeah. So do they, is this like, it always makes you think of Neil Gaiman's American Gods, about how if you're not worshipped, you just fade away.
And, you know, the real idea with it is the hope is that people will see that and then think about, oh, wait a minute, is my God actually any better?
Yeah. But no, they're not going to make that connection.
No, nobody does.
Yeah, none of the people yelling at the quad at school are ever going to be swayed by a logical argument, even though they say, I just want to talk about it.
Right. Well, and when you think about it, every religious believer thinks that all of the other gods were false gods. So, of course, people have stopped worshiping the false gods.
Right.
Because the real God is the only one worth actually worshiping.
I'm not like other gods, baby. I ain't going to smite you. And I'm real.
Oh, man.
I need to see if Boise State has a secular student alliance.
They have at times. I do not know if it is currently active.
I'll find out. I'll put on my old-timey reporter hat. We'll find out all the information on this scoop.
They have a Facebook group. It wouldn't be hard to find the information.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm the world's best detective. I'm like the okayest detective when it comes to things people post on the internet.
And then in Vatican City, the Roman Catholic Church has finished a synod of, big gathering of priests and bishops. Well, not priests, but just bishops and cardinals.
That's what a synod is?
Yeah.
All right.
From around the world. And they have concluded that they will be allowing married men in the Amazon region of Brazil to become priests.
Ah, okay. I think I saw somebody make a joke about this because, somebody posted that the Pope was going to open up marriage to priests. And they were like talking about season 2 of Fleabag. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
No, I'm not.
Season 2 involved the protagonist like pursuing a relationship with a priest.
Oh.
So it's like, like the influence of Fleabag continues to dominate.
You know, and what it's really going for is this is going to allow married men who are already deacons in the church to become ordained priests. This is something that is occasionally allowed. For example, Pope Benedict decided to allow Anglican priests who weren't happy about the fact that the Anglican Church was going to be ordaining women and gay people to switch over and basically just transfer their ordination directly over to the Catholic Church and be fine with already being married. And on occasion, they do allow married deacons to become priests. This is going to be a lot more common form of that. And it's specifically because there are so few priests in the Amazon region that there are places where Catholics go months or years without taking communion because there's no one around that can do it. And if you believe that you need to be consuming the magical flesh of your God, you need to make sure that you have available enough people with the magical powers to turn crackers into that flesh.
To transcombobulate it.
Transubstantiation.
No, I think mine's right.
So this has been incredibly controversial. The initial proposals included allowing women to be ordained in that region because apparently they have that much of a shortage of priests. So the more extreme one of women, and what's interesting here, they find it more extreme to allow celibate women to become priests than married men.
That's super sexist.
It is. Granted, this is the Roman Catholic Church, where if a priest is found to have had consensual sex with another adult, they're out.
Right, but they're kind of backing off on that. Because sex rocks.
Well, and realistically, the whole priestly celibacy thing, that really is only about 1,000 years old. And the whole reason behind it is the kings of Europe did not like Catholic bishops who controlled a lot of land in Europe having heirs.
Oh, yeah. I think we've actually talked about that.
That's
on the
whole
show.
Thing behind it.
Yeah.
That is not a concern in the Amazon or really anywhere else in the world now.
Yeah, we're not really looking at structuring bloodlines anymore.
Mm-mm. That is so far... That is so gone.
Right. I don't have an heir. I'm in, you know, what am I going to do with all my debt when I die?
debt isn't inherited.
I know. It was a joke.
Yeah, it dies with your estate.
Yeah, take that, fucking credit card companies.
And realistically, it would be, since your wife will likely outlive you.
We'll see.
Statistically speaking, she will outlive you. her children will get all your stuff.
Yeah, they're okay, I guess. I'm okay with that.
Unless you're like George Washington, who did not have any children of his own. He did not give his... And got most of his... His case was really weird because he married a widow who was rich and got all her stuff. She had two children from her first husband who had died. And I believe a lot of the wealth that she had was from her first husband. George Washington got it. And when he died, none of it was willed to his stepchildren. It was willed to his nephew.
Nice. What a dick move.
It really is. Yeah. Irrelevant to what we're talking about right now. Okay, so with the Synod, they talked a lot about the environmental issues happening around the world, especially in the Amazon right now.
Yeah.
The Pope is very, very critical of environmental damage and strongly supports protecting the environment. He is... Also used that as an opportunity to make a lot more cardinals, several dozen new cardinals, which are the people who will be voting for his replacement.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So where does a cardinal rank?
Cardinals are special archbishops.
Okay. So if they're special archbishops, they move in the diagonal?
It's more like... So, and it's really hard for modern people to make sense of the Catholic structure unless they were raised Catholic, because it is incredibly archaic in how everything is set up. Effectively, the Catholic Church is set up about the same as the Holy Roman Empire was back in, you know, the one of the biggest feudal messes of history.
Okay.
You've got a priest who runs a few local churches, but mostly just does the work of the church. Doesn't really have a whole lot of power. The local bishop runs a region of the church and rules from a cathedral sitting on a throne.
Okay.
The cathedral
that
is
archaic.
The cathedral is a church castle, and there is a throne room. Well, the main basilica space has a throne that is the bishop's throne where he sits, and a bishop getting put into that position is... called enthronement.
That sounds cool. Where's the nearest basilica?
Downtown Boise.
Oh, we got one?
Yeah.
I want to go.
We have a cathedral in downtown Boise.
Is that at like 9th and whatever?
It's like 3 or 4 blocks from the Capitol to the...
Oh, the Cathedral
Northwest.
Of the Rockies?
Nope, that's Methodist.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Other cathedral.
Because I know the main dude to that one, he went to high school with his son. So
they're really close to each other.
Okay.
Right. It's right. It's like, I think it's between the Cathedral of the Rockies and the state capitol.
Okay.
But so you've got the cathedral with the bishop, and then you've got an archbishop who is, so basically the bishop is like a lord from the feudal system who's over a county or similar small, you know, little bit of land. And then you've got the archbishop, who's more like a duke, who is over a much larger region with numerous bishops under him.
Okay.
The bishop in Boise is under the archbishop in Portland.
Okay.
The archbishops all report officially directly to the Pope.
Okay.
Some archbishops are Cardinals, they are referred to as cardinal, even though they are still officially really just archbishops. What's different is they are pope electors. Much like in the Holy Roman Empire, you had various lords and princes, and then you had the prince electors. And the electors, while technically still just princes, were special princes and better than the other princes because they got to elect the next emperor.
Oh, gotcha. So the archbishops, the cardinals that elect the pope, do they have to go to Pope City to do it? Or do they have like online voting?
No. When the voting happens, they all go to Rome. They all get locked into a building and they cannot leave until they've elected a new pope.
Gotcha.
And the only way they're allowed to communicate with the outside world is...
The smoke.
Smoke.
Yeah. Got it. It's all making sense to me now.
Yeah. So Pope Francis can extend his influence on the church past his life by packing the College of Cardinals with more people who agree with him to increase the odds of somebody who cares about the things that he cares about is elected to be the next pope. Also interesting with his choice of cardinals is he's been looking for people from the Southern Hemisphere. So South America, Africa, and the like.
Australia?
I don't know if any were from Australia. I haven't looked at it in that much detail. But it has, that does make the College of Cardinals slightly less white and also less Italian.
Interesting.
Because most of the cardinals are Italian and have been forever.
Right. Yeah, they locked it down.
Yeah, like some of those are basically, they might as well be hereditary the way they keep it within within Italy for a lot of those cathedral or cardinal positions. Interestingly, there are some dubious reports out there of a right-wing, not just right-wing rage. That's not dubious. That is real.
Yeah.
Right-wing rage against Pope Francis for both opening up the priesthood to married men. They're afraid that doing that in just the Amazon will open it up eventually to the rest of the world.
Right.
And if priests do not, if priests have, are allowed to have sex with, consensual sex with adults, that is wrong. They don't want that. A lot of these right-wing voices have also been critical of Pope Francis cracking down on corruption in the Vatican and trying to crack down somewhat on pedophilia.
Yeah, they just want to let boys be boys, right?
Yep.
Out of all the popes, I think Pope Francis seems to be the most liberal, which, you know, it's still pretty, seems pretty conservative, but
yeah,
it's progress in the right direction. It's just too bad there's so many people fighting it.
Oh, yeah. Where the dubious reports on it come in is claims that there are efforts to possibly have Francis stop breathing.
Like assassination?
Yeah.
Well, God, it really is getting archaic up in there.
John Paul I was poisoned.
Mm.
He died through a mafia poisoning. We're talking around 1980.
Oh, wow. Didn't know about that.
In the 70s, yeah. He liberalized the church and pissed off conservatives with mafia ties, and they had the mafia help them get rid of him.
Jeez.
Yeah. Facebook is trying to cut down on how much misinformation and disinformation is on the platform. And one of their ways of doing this is by creating a trusted news, or excuse me, high quality news tab that is slowly being rolled out to users.
All right. What's the rub? Like, I've heard something about Breitbart. Is Breitbart one of those?
Yep.
Well, all right. That's, you've been zucked.
Yep. So Zuckerberg, I think what I figured out is he knows that if you crack down on racist, religious bigots, sexist, homophobic assholes, and basically other people that are horrible for online discourse, they all tend to be conservative and they tend to be Christian.
Yeah, because that's all backwards.
So that has created in some circles the appearance that Facebook is anti-conservative. So in response to this, Zuckerberg has been having lots of meetings with conservative leaders. And since there is on the far right a idea that mainstream news is politically biased, it makes sense that they would have selected a right-wing, quote, news source to include in their high-quality news tab.
Yeah, but what if it's not high-quality news, Zuck?
Yeah, yeah. The big problem here is the, at least for the last several years, the political spectrum has moved so far to one side that a lot of the right wing is well outside of the realm of common decency and is outside of the realm of facts.
Right.
Breitbart is on the far, far right.
Yeah. So it's like a token move to keep people from like just protesting on the conservative side.
I think when Facebook was asked about this, they said that no, it's Breitbart does good news stuff, and there's no reason to think that they're going to be providing misinformation. If they find that they are providing misinformation, then they'll be removed.
Will they, though?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because we could probably look at what's on Breitbart today and find something.
Yeah. Yep.
Just all comes back to that Stephen Colbert quote about when he's doing the congressional dinner and he's talking about that reality has a strong liberal bias.
Uh-huh. Okay, so looking at Breitbart's front page. Third headline, politically biased misinformation.
All right, what is it?
Okay, so the link on the homepage, Dems media lose it over epic day for USA.
Yeah. Every time somebody has a headline like that, I already know that it's blowing smoke. Dems lose it.
Holy crap, that is the weirdest link. So there are, you can click the four U.S. flags with exclamation points behind them. And three separate headlines. One of them is Dems media lose it over epic day for USA. Which is about the Trump's press conference about killing the head of ISIS.
Let me know if you see a scientist baffled story, too.
So, scrolling through the article, there is nothing suggesting that Dems or the media lose it over the epic day. So,
also, how epic was that day? I didn't hear about it.
That was today.
Oh, what an epic day.
This was this morning.
I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. And actually, our next story.
Also, didn't Obama kill the head of ISIS like a long time
Al-Qaeda.
Ago? Oh, Al-Qaeda.
Okay, so Al-Qaeda, yes, Osama bin Laden was the head of Al-Qaeda, and U.S. Special Operations killed him in a raid that helped fuel the anti-vax movement in the Muslim world. So it was good that the head of Al-Qaeda is no longer around. It is bad that they found his location using health workers or people posing as health workers in vaccine drives, specifically with polio vaccinations. So that was bad. Anyway, so that's Al-Qaeda. ISIS started out as Al-Qaeda in Iraq. It was an Al-Qaeda affiliate group in Iraq that al-Baghdadi was the head of, and then eventually he formed the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, and then turned it into the Islamic State of the Levant, which is a region basically covering the populated parts of Iraq, Syria, and would include down into Israel.
Okay.
So Trump has announced that U.S. Special Operations Forces tracked down al-Baghdadi and trapped him and his family at the end of a tunnel and killed him.
What about the family?
Three of his children. They detonated a suicide vest, so I'm guessing his children are dead too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably not getting thrown about.
No. And this operation's been in the works for 2 weeks, so it predates pulling out of Kurdish areas. But yeah. Oh, and with pulling out of the Kurdish areas, then also getting hundreds of Islamic State fighters released from the places they were being imprisoned, as the people imprisoning them had to flee for their lives.
Oh, right.
As Turkish soldiers were coming. So apparently there's been some good for the Islamic State and some bad. And we'll see which wins out.
Right. Yeah. So weird to think about such a war-torn area.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, even to my amazement, is the pulling out of northern Syria and leaving the Kurds behind was a step too far for Pat Robertson. You all that familiar with Robertson?
No, not at all.
Okay, so he's Robertson's televangelist with the 700 Club.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Nearly 90 years old.
Okay.
Been around forever and has been a pretty staunch supporter of Donald Trump since about, you know, mid-2016.
Yeah, the 700 Club, I always saw it on the TV Guide channel when I was younger, and I always thought it sounded like it should be like a Disney show, but it was always just some old white guy talking about the Jesus bullshit.
Yeah, and that's Pat Robertson.
Okay, all right, so I am familiar with Pat Robertson.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the reason I didn't get to watch cartoons.
So, Robertson, we've played clips of him saying stupid shit plenty on the show. This time there wasn't any good clip to pull because he was making sense, like lucid, rational, reasonable, well thought out, well worked out thoughts, which have a tendency not to actually be conducive to sound bites. So no clip to play. But he compared Trump's withdrawal from Syria to Nazi Germany and Neville Chamberlain's appeasement of Adolf Hitler.
Oh, okay.
The example he used for with Chamberlain was after the Nazis and Soviets split up Poland and the Nazis annexed Austria, Chamberlain announced that, you know, they had peace and everything was good. And then Hitler met with Chamberlain and asked him to be able to take just a little piece of the Czech Republic because there were German people there who were being mistreated by the government, was Hitler's claim. And that, as everybody knows, ended with the very quick conquering of the Czech Republic by Nazi Germany. It ended up being a pretty quick... now, the appeasement still didn't end. Because at that point, the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany still had a non-aggression pact, and it wasn't until the invasion of the Low Countries on their way to France that the Allies actually decided to try to stop Germany. But Czechoslovakia, that was a step that was damaging for it, but he's using that as the example, as the comparison for what Trump did with Erdogan. Erdogan said he just wanted this little piece of Syria because he views the Kurds as terrorists. Erdogan is a bad guy. Everybody knows that Erdogan is a bad guy. He has killed anybody who opposes him in his own country. He's trying to turn a secular democracy into a Islamic dictatorship.
And he's the Hitler in the making?
That's the part that I'm not quite clear on, because is he saying that Erdogan is Hitler in the making, or is he saying that Vladimir Putin is Hitler in the making? Robertson wasn't too clear there. Like I said, it was surprisingly lucid for him. There were still some logical holes in what he was saying, but the basic idea of Trump went too far, and somebody who's been backing Trump for so long, condemning him for turning over a minority group for slaughter, is a little bit refreshing to see.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah. And Marco Rubio, U.S. Senator from Florida.
Finally, one I know about.
He went to Twitter to back up Donald Trump with some Bible verses. So he tweeted out, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in distress. Thus we do not fear, blah, 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 from Psalm 46. Then, had not the Lord been with us when people rose against us, then we would have been they would have swallowed us alive, for their fury blasted against us, from Psalm 124. And then, two things are true. There's only been one man ever who was always right and deserves blind loyalty, and his name was Jesus. And no matter what a Republican does, the left will never be fair to them. What they want is Republicans who will douse themselves in kerosene and light a match.
It's never been what I wanted. I just want them to like maybe back up on the bullshit laws. Well,
yeah. Neither of those statements are true.
Yeah.
So for starters, he's just wrong.
Yeah. Like demonstrably so.
And he pissed off a lot of people with it. He pissed off conservative Christians. He pissed off Catholic Democrats. He got a lot of flack on Twitter from it.
Not his finest hour, it sounds like.
No. Governor Howard Dean of Vermont, now retired, a Democrat, his reply to Rubio was, too bad your party doesn't practice what Jesus preached, the bigotry, the hate, the misogyny, the greed, and Jesus wept.
Right.
Yeah. It's always amazed me with the amount of religious fervor that people have with defending Donald Trump. It's also not surprising because he's giving the religious right everything they want.
Yeah, because he knows where his bread and butter is right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's running the country like he ran his sleazy businesses, you know, just bribe here where it needs to be, you know, appeasement here where it needs to be. Just like, these are the people that can make the decision, so we're just going to we're going to do whatever you want, and he doesn't care. He just doesn't care.
Right.
About the consequences as long as he gets what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true.
It's just so annoying to see it every day in the news.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have some feedback.
Hell yeah, feedback.
From Gino Man via Twitter. I can't stop doing the little pew pew sounds to myself every time I hear or read about studies done by the Pew Research Center. Thanks, Lauren.
Pew pew. I've done that independently of Lauren, I think.
From Steve from Waiting for Wrath via Twitter. I personally preferred the mic you used for the news segment. It has a richer tone that really suits your voice. This is from a couple weeks ago. I agree and am still using the RE320. I do think it works with my voice a little bit better.
Yeah. How's this one sound for mine, you think?
The RE320 is a good mic that does good. Yeah, it just does good.
Is that this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
It's fuzzy. Look, I rub my nose on it. It's fuzzy.
Well, these are the same mics, just different. That has the windscreen and this has the pop filter.
Oh, gotcha.
And from Addy via email.
Hi, Addy.
Hi, mate. I am Addy, 42, from Israel, now moved to Portugal. I just wanted to thank you for a great show. Great to hear your making sense view of this crazy world. Thank you again. You do a great job, Addy.
You're welcome, Addy. I did all I could.
Thank you, Addy. It's Israel and Portugal are perspectives we don't hear from very often, and I'm glad that our American-focused show is something you appreciate.
And I hope you liked us talking about where particular cathedrals were in downtown Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
See, now that's funny enough. You have to keep in the earlier bit. I know you're editing magic.
Oh, I wasn't going to remove that.
Okay.
Yeah. Despite the fact that maybe 1% of our downloads come from Idaho. Yeah, I wasn't going to remove that.
People like it. They like it on ER when they talk about medical things they don't understand.
So the Air Force X-37B This is the Air Force's space plane that looks kind of like a space shuttle, but smaller and different and much more top secret and more modern and unmanned.
Okay.
Just completed its fifth test mission after being in orbit for... Shit, is this is the right one. Space.com. It was just about the plane. Just completed a record 780-day mission.
Oh, all right, cool.
Landing at Kennedy Space Center. So it was in orbit. What's interesting with this one is it has big solar panels that it can unfurl when it gets into orbit to continue powering it. And nobody knows what it was doing up there.
Even better.
Just up in orbit for almost 2 years.
Yeah, just doing nothing. Just checking it out. Nice view.
Yeah. And so this is the... This breaks the previous record from the OVT-4, Orbital Test Vehicle 4 mission, that was 718 days. This is, for a little bit more in the X-37B, it is a lot smaller than the space shuttle. It's 29 feet long. It's 9.5 feet tall. The wingspan's less than 15 feet. At launch, it only weighs 1,100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't launch with built-in rockets and boosters like the space shuttle. It goes up on a more conventional rocket. And the cargo space for it is only 7 feet by 4 feet.
Mm, we're cozy. Talking,
it's smaller than a full-size pickup bed.
It's a tiny home.
Yeah. And nobody knows what it carries.
Probably drugs.
What? Just to space?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's just their solution to the wall, right?
Yeah. It's a pretty neat vehicle. Highly classified, but there are little bits of information that have been released. They seem to be just going for longer and longer missions right now.
Huh.
The first one was 224 days long, and now they're up to, they're pushing the 2 year mark.
Right. Yeah.
Which Lauren is out from the nap and just said Mars. No, they didn't go to Mars. They're in orbit. They're taking pictures. They're taking pictures. It's the military.
It's a spy thing, yeah.
These are, realistically, it's just a spy orbiter with a little bit more power than a satellite.
Yeah, sweet. That's cool.
But I think we need more mini space shuttles.
Yeah, we do. We need more things. We need little mini orbit junk collectors. Just go up and collect all the junk in orbit.
They just got the something like that for the ocean.
Yeah,
that's
like
starting to work well.
The little plastic thing that goes around and like Roombas the ocean.
Yeah. goes around this vehicle with nets that just goes around and picks up plastic debris from the giant Pacific trash patch.
I'm trying to think of a clever name for a Roomba for the ocean.
Something for space would be pretty cool.
Scoomba? We'll take it, Scoomba.
Well, and the neat thing with space, you can't do it so well with the ocean, but with space, you can, if you do it right, you can just collect a whole bunch until it gets to a certain mass and then have it just deorbit and burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah, that would be a good way to get rid of that shit.
Stuff burns up in the atmosphere all the time, which I wonder how many heavy metals that puts into the air. Yeah.
A couple, but it's all right. It's such a low concentration once it expands to the whole Earth.
True.
Doesn't matter. True. It's like peeing in a pool. Like, it really doesn't matter. The concentration of urine goes to infinity. That's how much water is in there.
Well, the average pool has some certain percentage of urine, typically. It's a busy public pool.
Yeah, it's true.
And the smell is actually chemicals interacting with the urine.
Gross.
Yep.
It's urine.
Lauren, who is not on mic, just said if it smells like chlorine, it's urine. All right. Well, Jason, do you have anything to plug?
Well, I did a comedy judging thing last night.
Okay.
So by the time that you post this in the past, I assume you upload it on Tachyons.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. No, I got nothing going on.
All right.
Just a student, overwhelmed. Just want to quit, drop out.
Seniorish year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going into super senior territory.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
It's been a blast. I like talking shit about the world. Yeah.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.
You're listening to the Jason Ward Minute while Dustin lets Bucky back in.